You go ahead and be turning to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We have a good number present. As Mr. Larry is in Alabama part of this week, I'll be headed to Alabama tomorrow morning. Be gone about a week, so I would appreciate your prayers on that behalf. Abby will be having her her pinning and graduation, so I'll be headed back for that happy occasion. We often talk about remembering and trusting in God. We've talked about in the book of James in our Sunday morning classes about how we can take joy in our trials, joy in tribulation. But it's often a very hard thing to accept and to apply. Trust in the face of difficulty and anxiety, one thing stacking upon another. And often we have anxiety, we have stress because of personal hurt or personal trauma, stress from all of those things piling up, fear of the unknown, and shame because of who we are and our past deeds. We find that when we try to fill our lives with things of this life, whether that's social media, just scrolling, manifestation of stress and anxiety, stress eating, stress sleeping, turning to drugs, obviously one of the more extreme cases. Those things, any of those things, and any other thing that we might think of, those things cannot fill the void in our hearts that cause that stress, that cause that anxiety, that cause that doubting. But the one who can fill that void is God. He has told us that He can fill that void. He has the answer for every trouble and every anxiety in this life. As I said, we're going to be looking at Psalm 34 this morning. This is a psalm of David, and this was a psalm that David uttered at a very pivotal moment in his life. And before we get into the text in Psalm 34, I think it would be good for us to give some context to the time in David's life that this was happening. David had been in good graces with King Saul up until this point. He had done so from the beginning. He had befriended Saul's son, Jonathan. He had married one of Saul's daughters, Michal. He had defeated the giant Goliath, and he was now this national hero among the people of Israel. And everyone looked up to him, but Saul began to grow in hatred toward David. He began to hate David with every fiber of his being. He did not come to like David. And so at a point, King Saul actually sought to kill David. This was the first of many occasions in which he began to pursue David. And so David was fleeing, he was on the run, and he had come to the priest Ahimelech, and he even flees from there. And now he finds himself in the land of the people of where that giant Goliath is from, the land of Gath and the Philistines. He is not welcome among his own land, and he is certainly not welcome in this land of foreigners and those of his enemies. And so David, realizing his situation, begins to act as though he is insane, that he has lost his mind, so that he will be removed from the presence of this king of Gath. Because when that happens, the king of Gath says, I don't want anything to do with this man. I have enough crazy people in my presence. I don't need another one. And so he removes him, and David flees once more. And so he gets to this point, and then a gathering of people that are loyal to David come to him, those that have not lost faith in the kingdom, that are loyal to David and his cause. And they are worried. They are distressed. They are dismayed. And then, I believe it's at this point, It's somewhere amidst that struggle that David utters these words in Psalm 34, if you'll read along with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. David shows incredible calmness in the midst of peril, great peril that was happening in his life. He was being pursued by the anointed king of Israel. And he had just been anointed not too long past these events. He had been anointed as the future king of Israel. And yet he needed to be calm, if not for those that were loyal to him and those that were following him. David begins by praising God, by remembering what God had already done in his life, in the life of the people of Israel, and those promises that he had afforded to those people. He says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It can be so easy for us to focus on the negativity of the moment, the trials of the moment, what is happening presently. No matter what we do or where we go, it seems that the deck is always stacked against us, that we can't win. There's no way for us to win. We can go day in and day out going through those trials and not remembering God. Not remembering God in the midst of those hard things. It is because of God that we are even at that point in our lives to where we can turn back to Him. We've looked at that in the book of James, right? In remembering those good things that God has done, considering God each and every single day in whatever we plan to do. And that will refocus us, and that will refocus our motivations, and that's what David begins to do as he is speaking to those that are loyal to him. And he boasts in the Lord. So despite what happens, and there was a lot of uncertainty at this time, David was on the run. He was fleeing from Saul. He was not in the king's city. where you would think that the newly appointed king of Israel would be. He was not in good graces with the current king of Israel. Rather, he was fleeing from him because he was trying to kill him. And none of the people that were with him, they were loyal to him, but they didn't know if they would live another day. They didn't know what was about to happen. But David says, despite what happens, no matter what happens, we continue to trust in the Lord. We boast in the Lord and what he has done. And we know that he is able to deliver us, even if he does not deliver us from this present peril. He is able to lift us out of any trouble. And again, see, that's where my mind is right now in the book of James, finding joy in trials. This was an incredibly trying time for those that were loyal to God. These were the faithful of Israel, some of the faithful of Israel that were truly devoted to the one that God had put in a position of power. Saul had failed the Lord. He had not aligned himself with the Lord and his will. But David and those that were with him, they can now turn to God and they can trust in the one who can bring calm in the midst of this chaos. And so David then says, join with me in this. They join together in praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David did not forget what his position was at this point. Again, he had been anointed as the future king of Israel. He recognized that place of leadership that he was in, that position of leadership. And yet, where did he find himself? In the wilderness, running. In 1 Samuel 22, we find those that gathered to him were even some of his own family, brothers, and those others that were loyal to him, and they were in deep distress. David says, let us join together in praising God. All those who are downtrodden, who are sick with worry, and I'm sure they were sick with worry at this time, saying that he can lift you up. There's nothing in and of myself, David being the future king, there's nothing that I can do. You're looking to me. You're loyal to me. And that would have been admirable. But it's only God has put me in this position, right? And so David is redirecting where that trust should be. And that is incredibly, incredibly powerful. In verses 4 through 7, continuing on down through this psalm, David tells these people, and is telling himself even, to seek God, to continue to seek God. And David is now following up this previous thought of praise God. Well, why should we praise God? Why are we praising God in this situation? David's about to tell them. God gives confidence no matter the circumstance. He should give confidence no matter the circumstance if we truly trust in him. David and the people who were with him, who were loyal to him, had every right to be fearful of their lives. They were on the run from the king of Israel and a great host. But David says those fears would not last. They won't last. David says, I turned to the Lord. He answered me and reminded me that I don't have any reason to be afraid. God was on David's side. David was a man after God's own heart. So this one frightful thing that was happening in David's life at this point, that the Lord's anointed, the king, put in power by God, who God had put trust in to lead his people, and had been put in power by the prophet Samuel, was now seeking to kill him. This is the one that you would think the Lord should be with, right? The Lord should be with Saul, the Lord's anointed. But he is not. Rather, he is with the one running through the wilderness with a shamble of people. But David says, I am to be king, and I trust that the Lord will fulfill that promise. He trusts that what the Lord has said, that he will be the anointed king, that it will come to pass, just as all of those other great men of faith had done previous to that in the old law. So even the poorest in spirit, humble in means, God hears even that person. And it's in fact that person that God will hear. He will only hear that person. Those who are humbled, those who are coming to him with that attitude, coming to him with a contrite heart. God is not partial. He is not a respecter of persons. But it is whoever comes to him with that attitude, with sincerity and recognition of God only being, God is the only one that is able to bring that comfort and that calmness. Coming to him in that way, that is how we will find calmness. And God has told us, again, in James, he is going to give that wisdom freely. Right? God will give us what we need to get through those times of difficulty. And so, when all seems lost, when all seems that it is in its darkest point, God has already set up a defense against that which can hurt us. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read of the account of Elisha and his servant, and there is a great host, a great army coming against the city. And Elisha's servant is incredibly fearful at this point. And again, rightfully so, but his servant was fearful to the point of, what are we going to do? And it seems that that servant had forgotten who Elisha was, those things that had transpired previous to this with Elisha and with his mentor Elijah. And so Elisha sees that, and Elisha, already being in a state of calm, asks that his servant's eyes be opened to that which is around him. And as his eyes are opened, he sees that around the mountain there is a great host of horses and chariots of fire that are already much larger and much vaster and much more powerful in comparison to this great host that this servant was afraid of. If God be for us, who can be against us? When we recognize that God has all the power, and that any force, any influence, anything that may deter us, anything that may discourage us in this life, when we realize that those things are insignificant compared to the power of God and the power that God can bring in bringing calm and bringing meditation to his word, that is so much more powerful than anything that can happen to us in this life. And we replace our fear of man with the fear of God. And that's what he gets at next in this psalm. Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10. He tells the people, okay, you've sought after God. You have sought God. Okay, now you've found him. Do you see him as he truly is? Do you see him for who he is? Okay, if that's the fact, you will fear him, and you will fear what he is capable of. And David says, essentially, use your senses. Wake up. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Look and remember what good the Lord has already done. Does he stop now? Does he stop here in this one midst of fear and tribulation? No, God continues to work in that way. Job, which we looked at in the book of James, had to be reminded of the good that the Lord had done, and he was rebuked by the Creator. He was rebuked because he had forgotten his place and he had forgotten who it was that had already done so much good in his life. And so if we truly know who God is, if we come to recognize who God is and what he is capable of, it is good and blessed that we trust in him. For if we trust in ourselves, we will come to ruin. If David had only trusted in himself, and the people I'm sure would have still been loyal to him even to the very end, but if he had just been loyal to himself, or had only trusted in himself, then this would have been a very short-lived pursuit by Saul. It is only when we fear God that we can truly find peace. If we truly acknowledge who God is, what he has done, it is good. Those things are good. But it should also cause us to fear. Fear is not a bad thing in this instance. Fearing God. If we love him, we will do his commandments, just as Jesus said. If we do not, then we should tremble in fear of what the Lord will bring against us if we are contrary to doing his will, if we do not obey, if we disobey. He will judge us accordingly. He is just, and he will judge us in that way. And so when we fear him, that leads us down a path of goodness through obedience to him. And so when we align ourselves to God's will, as David did, as he continued to trust in God, that is when David found peace, and that is how we find peace. That is how David was able to remain so calm through this episode here. And going back to the example of Job, it would seem to some, like Job's friends and like his wife, that because of Job's situation, because of David's situation, because of that situation that he was in, he had not feared the Lord. Saul was still in that place of power. Just someone looking from the outside, on the outside looking in, they could have looked at that situation and observed, well, David had to have done something. He's been anointed, but now he's done something to anger the Lord. And Saul is still in that place of power. David, the successor to the throne, and a man after God's own heart, aligned himself to God, who is over all. And David concludes this thought, this section here, by saying, God provides. No matter what the circumstances may look like right now, God still provides. And in this instance, David brings up the picture of this young lion. Even such a magnificent creature, such as a lion, may go without food for a time. We may also. Yes, even those who align ourselves to God. But God still provides us with good things, even if it is not physical sustenance. We can learn even to be content in all things, as David did, as Paul did, as he gives us those examples, and many other faithful servants that we find in Scripture. The language that I see here by David is not one who lacks good things, who lacks those things that are necessary to carry on. Rather, I see a man who again remembers the good that has come, that will continue to come, as he learns and continues to learn to trust in God, to fear God, to recognize who God is, and that relationship that he has with his father. And it's perhaps not always in the way that he imagined it. It's not going to always come out the way that we expect it to, right? But God answers our pleas according to his will, and that is good. David continues that thought of fearing the Lord by saying that true fear of God means that that is when God hears us. Verses 11 through 18, he hits upon this point. He says, to reap a good life, you must do righteousness. You must practice righteousness. Keep your tongue from evil, he says. It would be very easy in this instance for David and his followers to despise and ridicule God, even ridicule Saul and his forces. We see David ridicule his men, those that were with him, time and time again, whenever they brought up any sort of disalignment or ridicule against Saul, the Lord's anointed. David recognized who Saul was, and even though Saul was seeking to take his life, he still recognized him as the one that God had put there on the throne. And he would not go against him. And David was even remorseful for just removing a small fragment of Saul's robe, as we see not too long after in 1 Samuel. David says, do good, seek peace, pursue that, pursue peace. If David and his men had pursued and sought conflict against Saul, if they were only, again, if they were only trusting in themselves, they would have brought down very quickly. That would not have ended well for them. But it was not the will of God for the future king of Israel to go against the present king of Israel. That was not the Lord's will. David recognized that. For us, it is not good that we should rush into any sort of conflict, any sort of thing that is coming up in our lives that is going to cause conflict, that may cause conflict, if we rush headlong into that without considering the consequences first. Jesus talks about that. We rattle out a quick and a heated response without considering what it's going to do to those around us, to those that we are involved with. So do not use hateful speech. Seek peace. Pursue it. Another lesson to take from this: it takes a great evaluation, incredible evaluation, to be able to look inward and to look outward and observe where I need to apply God's wisdom. I have sought Him. I have come to see Him as He is, as God is, and I fear Him. But then applying that wisdom that He brings in my life. Saul's own son did not follow him in this pursuit of David. And in fact, Jonathan and David, they tried to come to an agreement to where it would be beneficial to David so that David could plan ahead if he needed to flee, and that ended up being the case. Even if we've been hurt, even if we've been wronged, we must be patient. We must endure. And I'm sure that's even, those are the words that were exchanged between Jonathan and David, because David could not find that with any other in the house of Saul, in the house of the one where you would expect assurance to be found. God brings calmness. God brings peace when we fear Him and when we come to Him with that humble heart, with that contrite heart, coming to Him in that way, in that attitude. And then finally, when all of those things transpire, when we accept all of those things, when we come to know those things truly in our own lives, God will bring assurance. And God will bring justice. David says that we can work through difficulties. Psalm chapter 44, in verse 22, which is another psalm of David. Psalm 44, in verse 22. Excuse me, this one's not, but the one we'll look at here in a moment. Psalm 44 in verse 22. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Proverbs 24 in verse 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The Lord will continue to pick us up in spite of everything that's happening in our lives, in spite of every horrible thing that may come against us in this life. This was the message that David relayed to those that were with him, to those that were loyal to him. And it's the message that we even hear today as we go through present difficulties. Perhaps you are going through some sort of present difficulty. David says, as he did to these people, seek God and His goodness, do righteousness, seek His promises, and don't lose hope because of that. David reminds the people that the Lord will preserve the righteous, and that God will break the will and the fortitude of the wicked and the evil, those that are against Him. In Psalm 51, in verse 8, and this is the psalm that I was thinking of, Psalm 51, in verse 8, David says, and this was just after Nathan the prophet had come to him in his sin with Bathsheba. In verse 8, he says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. In Psalm 34, in verse 20, it says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. A vast contrast in terms of looking at the breaking of bones. Guarding us, but also breaking us down. David, even in that instance, when he recognizes his position with God, he rejoices. He gives praise to God. It's just another way of saying, David is just saying in another way, that God is able to preserve His people and that He will preserve His people. And the Lord has made a promise that their own evil, the wicked, will be visited by their wickedness. They will be punished according to their wickedness. So with what evil they had been dealt, with what evil Saul was pursuing David with, that would be heaped up against him in judgment. And so Saul, in all his pursuits to kill David, he would, in the end, be pursued by the Philistines, and he would die by his own hand. Saul truly hated David. He really did. And it's hard for me to even imagine how he even got to that point, of how Saul started so righteously as a servant of God and became so bitter and embittered against David. And when he got to that point, he was brought down. He forgot the position that he had been put in by God. He forgot who he was the king, what nation he was the king of, and who he should have been guided by. He was trusting in himself. It is a comforting, and yet it is also a frightening thought, that God will bring us into judgment according to what we have done. None who trust in God will be condemned. That is how David ends this psalm. So if we don't learn to trust, if we don't learn to fear God, to recognize who He is, we also will be condemned. We cannot use our own wisdom to meet the trials of this life. We can try, but it's not going to come out better for us. Remember the goodness of God. Remember His promises. And that is how we will endure. So looking at what David was going through at this incredibly uncertain time in his life, and that of the lives of those that were with him now, it brings great assurance at the end of the day that if David and those with him can get through that, whatever I'm going through presently, I can get through that as well with the help of God, if I truly see him as he is and what he is able to accomplish in my life. When God is on our side, we can get through anything. I hope this has been beneficial to you, looking at, again, the words of an incredibly righteous man, one who trusted in God for most of his life, still falling at times. We fall at times. We make mistakes. We can fall out of trusting God. We can forget who it is we serve. Perhaps you have fallen out of that relationship with God. You have forgotten what it takes to in walking with God. You have people here that are willing to help you. All of us, that should all be our goal in helping one another serve God. Perhaps you have not put on Christ. You have not been washed in the waters of baptism. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.